know it until you share it with all your brothers and sisters. So being in this room and just hearing and hearing and hearing and listening and listening and receiving and receiving and receiving without giving is not what Jesus is speaking about. He tells you in the justice of heaven, until you give to all without reluctance, without thinking that you don't have to give, you will not have received anything. You will not have received anything that you think that you have received. Oh yes, your intellect may think that it has received enormous amounts of information. As Eckhart Tolle says, you do not need more information. They're all pointers, pointing you in a direction. They're street signs. It's a map. You don't need more map. You don't need more street signs. You don't need more pointers. You already have what it's pointing to, but you will not know it. Redemption is not known until fully shared. Page 209, Awakening to Your Redemption. Teach that I did not die in vain, rather, teach that I did not die by demonstrating I live in you. What if Jesus was just sitting there for 33 years just listening to others and not sharing from his heart? Would you be here in this room today? Of course, the what-ifs don't really matter. The only what-if matters is, am I willing? Am I willing? Am I willing to practice? The second of the three lessons of the Holy Spirit, there's only three, there's not many more than three, there's only three. To have peace, teach peace, to learn it. And you find at the bottom of page 106 of the FIP edition, paragraph 2, all good teachers realize that only fundamental change will last, but they do not begin at that level. They do not begin at that level. Strengthening motivation for change is their first and foremost goal. Strengthening motivation. That's a fancy expression for willingness. Are you willing to take your place among the teachers? Are you willing to keep your promise to the Holy Spirit, which is made with your consent, to be a minister of God, as it says in Workbook Lesson 154? The next sentence is after it's their first and foremost goal. It really surprises me, but it may surprise you as well. It's also the last and final one. So your first and foremost goal is self-motivation, and your last and final one is self-motivation. Increasing motivation for change in the learner is all that a teacher need to do to guarantee change. Change in motivation is a change of mind, and this will inevitably, I love the word, will inevitably produce fundamental change because the mind is fundamental. So if you feel that being here in this room is giving you the fundamental motivation to change by just receiving and not giving, you're only halfway baked. The other side of receiving is giving. Thank you all for please take your place among the teachers. Please, we have a lot of openings here. I say this on a regular basis. If you really want to use your time in this room with commitment to your own awakening, not to somebody else's, but to your awakening, take your place among the teachers. Take your place as you promised the Holy Spirit, as it so well says in Workbook Lesson 154. Thank you all. Turning this mic over to you, Doug Thompson. Thank you so much.
There, I found it. Can you hear me? Testing, testing. All right, cool. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this 4 p.m. slot on Sunday afternoon. And today, we're going to talk about experience. And Ruby and I have been tossing around a couple of ideas on this, and she's agreed to show up and throw her magnificent two cents worth in. And I think at this point I'm going to hand her the mic and let her introduce, or let her say her, say what she wants to say, if anything. Your brain is empty. All right. If your brain is empty, then my brain isn't quite empty, fortunately. I have a couple of things prepared here. If I can find them and get them in front of my nose. All right, there we go. They're in front of my nose. Ruby, I would like you to try for a minute or two to talk about your experience that led you to think that this topic would be a good one to go into by way of introducing it, because you have in the past spoken of that quite eloquently, and I think it would be a really good intro if you can. If you can't, I'll wing it. All right. I guess that means you can't. Okay. I'm actually trying to remember what Ruby said, because it rather inspired me to go into this. And it had to do with the difference between theoretical discussions of what this or that means and the actual experience of what this or that means, and the difference, well, not just so much the difference between the two, but that in the experience we come to know at a much deeper and more thorough level what it is. When we experience an idea, we know what it's about far more than if we simply understand it at the head level alone. And I just listened to the last 5 minutes of what Doug was talking about before I came on here, and actually that feeds into this topic really quite eloquently with this quote in particular. And it has to do with, well, I'm actually just going to read it. It's only a short paragraph, and then I'll talk about it. It's from chapter 2, section 3 in the section 2 in the text. You do not understand healing because of your own fear. Jesus here is addressing healing. I have been hinting throughout, and once stated very directly, because you were unfearful at the time, that you must heal others. The reason is that their healing merely witnesses or attests to your own. Now, healing others is related to teaching others, and that's sort of the link. And the idea that's being expressed here is that our own healing is not experienced until it is shared. Our own knowledge and understanding is not fully experienced until it is shared. Certainly, we can know it to some extent, and certainly we are even unconsciously sharing it in all of our interactions with people to some extent. But it is through the transmission or the passing on of what we have learned or of healing that we come to know it is really ours. We come to know through the experience of it. And I'm going to read that paragraph again because it makes the point that Dove was making and that Jesus has made a number of times to Helen. Okay, slower, I will. You do not understand healing because of your own fear. Jesus addressing Helen here. I have been hinting throughout, and once stated very directly, because you were unfearful at the time, that you must, emphasis on must, heal others. You must heal others. It's not an option. It's not saying you should. It's you must. And the reason is that their healing merely witnesses or attests to yours. So it is in the process of passing on the healing or the teaching that one experiences the witness in that act of one's own healing or understanding. In other words, it must be shared, and in the sharing comes the experience of the truth. And through the experience comes a knowledge far deeper than head knowledge. Again, the brother is the savior, right, Scots? You can't experience true healing without healing your brother. That's exactly what Jesus said, but he went a little further. You not only can't experience, you can't understand it. You do not understand healing because of your own fear. Now, this fear, Helen's fear, led her to decline to heal others in situations where she could. And through that fear of being unwilling to share, she became unaware, incomprehending of her own healing, and therefore could not take advantage of it, could not experience the benefit of it. You want to say that out loud, Scott?
I'm trying to understand what it means, not understanding healing. And I'm thinking, well, would that mean like I'm just, the miracles might be happening, but I'm not even aware that they're happening? Is that what you might call it? If you don't understand the healing, you don't see it. But it could still be happening, right?
I think that's exactly right. That learning or healing, growth, spiritual awareness can be going on in leaps and bounds at an unconscious level, and it's only when we share it according to this passage and according to the experience of many, it's only in the process of sharing that we fully become aware of what it is we know. There's other instances in the course where the word teach is used. You must teach in order to learn. In the process of teaching others, you learn the stuff yourself, which is very true. You might even know you know stuff until you start trying to explain it to another or see someone else stumbling and realize you actually have an answer for them. And as you share that answer, you come to understand it and experience it yourself more fully. It becomes more completely yours in the process of sharing. When it's just kept private, it's a little bit like money that's hoarded away. It's really quite useless. It's there, it's still money, it still has whatever value money has, but it doesn't do anything until you exchange that money for something else with someone else, whereupon the money starts to have a profound effect on all kinds of people. But if it doesn't move, it's just potential energy. It's not real energy. We can think of a battery that's in an appliance that's not turned on. The electricity is there, but it doesn't do anything until you flip the switch and let it flow, whereupon it operates whatever it's going to be operating. Teddy writes, it also says that miracles are seen in light, and that the light and the spiritual eye has to be reopened to the light. There is a magnificent quote about the spiritual eye that I was just looking at that I didn't I was just reading that bit, Teddy, and I don't know where I put it because I didn't write it down. Yes, exactly. Scott Wright, so you can't have the experience of healing, the awareness of the healing, if you don't understand it, but it might still be happening or have happened. Okay, I would say you can have the experience of healing and not understand it and not know you have had the experience of healing. It might be, in other words, it might be happening below, it can definitely happen below awareness. And in the process of sharing, and in this case, where this particular quote, the specific the specific context is healing others. You must heal others. That is the injunction offered. The reason is that their healing witnesses or attests to yours. So you see your own. You come to know your own or experience your own through theirs. All right, I'm reading. There's a lot of typing here right now. No, you cannot understand it, writes Teddy, but you have to understand you need healing. If thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light, but if the eye is dark, woe unto thee, how great is thy darkness. That sounds like it's from Matthew. Okay, Scott asks, how can you have the experience and not have the experience? The experience includes the awareness of it, otherwise it isn't experienced. All right. Yeah, that is an interesting play on words. The experience and potential versus the experience realized. Ruby, go!
Okay. Sorry about, I was having some problems with, I was actually in the wrong room. That's how embarrassed I am. I actually, because I have this room on my favorites, and I clicked the one beneath it, and I was actually on the mic in another room and wondering why you guys couldn't hear me. Okay. But I have two computers, so I had one with a larger font, seeing Doug is in the room, so I really thought I was talking in the room. Okay. We were discussing in Evening Reflections, and I asked Doug to talk on this topic because he is so informed in reading the text. And what I shared was that I really feel that true sharing is about sharing experience. And that is what Teddy's writing in. It's first the willingness, and then calling on the Holy Spirit. And then it's a joining with my brother in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And in that context, we're sharing the light that comes from that willingness to join in the presence of the bridge that God has given us, the Holy Spirit. And within that context, we both experience a miracle from the willingness in our own hearts to join. Now, the reason this comes up for me, because I see over and over again, whether on different forums, whether it be in the ACRM Lounge, even with me and Scott, with Dove and Maz, and everybody, you know, is coming from a well-meaning place. And even Jesus said to Helen about her conversations with that person, Jack, that, you know, your intellects are great, but true teaching, healing is calling on bridges of the Holy Spirit, that gift from God, and that in that joining, in that willingness to not know the answer, to join in that which can only happen in the holy instant now, that experience of love and light and clarity. And I feel that that is true sharing. I think sometimes we get too caught up in what the classification of terms talks about. A universal theology is impossible. We get too caught up in the information that we've learned from the course, whether it be in our just learning concepts by definition are based on past learning. And the goal of the course is asking us to be here now. Don't go by, let go of the past. The Holy Spirit is here now. We can join now. And what that join is the willingness. It's what Teddy is saying. First, acknowledge that it is you that needs the healing, and we join together with our brother in that healing, in that experience. And that's the miracle, the light that comes from love. The real power of the miracle is the love behind it. It's not the information. It's the willingness to join in a shared experience. And Doug is posting, a universal theology is impossible, but a universal experience is not only possible, but necessary. And that is a direct quote from the clarification of terms at the end of... I mean, that is what... Because we're asked to... It's not that it's wrong that we share from the informational level. It's just that it, you know, what is the most useful? To the extent that anything is useful is the reality we should give it. And I think that it just gets us in the wrong direction. And Dev is saying it's a misunderstanding of what Jesus is saying. Well, I'm not sure which... What Jesus? I'm going to ask you, Dove, to if you could clarify. Okay, dropping the mic for Dove.
Yeah, hi, Ruby. I just spent a whole half hour speaking on the exact same topic. We're so used to the world's curriculum of if I hang out long enough and listen, which is another word for getting. If I keep getting everything that I need, I'll finally know what it is that everyone else has that I don't have, and sooner or later I'll have what everyone else has. That's the world's curriculum, and that, as Jesus says, is insanity. He says, no, you already have everything. If you look to this world to get or to give to you the eternal Son of God from time and space, you will be bitterly disappointed because you already think that you don't have. That's why you come to this world and think this world has something to give you. There's nothing here for you. Come home. He reverses that and says, the Holy Spirit's curriculum is to have all, which is what we already have. Give all to all. That you reverse everything that you believe to be true, that if I hang out and listen long enough, just like I did in school, in high school, in college, and I got by and I passed the test and I got out of there, it doesn't happen that way in this world. In order to understand healing, you have to recognize that your brother is yourself. And exactly as it says in text, chapter 25, section 9, the justice of heaven, which I consider an awesome section. I use the word awe, because as I see that section reading to me, and that happens to be the reading for Tuesday morning, so I invite everyone to be here Tuesday when either Julie teaches at 7:30 or Mike Santriso teaches at 10:30. That section is saying to you, what God gives to you belongs to everyone and is His due. My thinking that I don't have is teaching myself the ego's lessons of lack and deprivation and specialness, that others have something that I don't have. That maybe if I listen long enough, I will hear what they have, and I'll get get it for myself. Impossible. That's why, exactly as you've read, Ruby, exactly as you read from the introduction to clarification of terms, a universal theology is not possible. Because anything that you are taking in with your intellectual mind is a belief system. Well, I believe this to be true. Yes, I already heard this. I know this to be true, so I'm going to listen some more. And I don't believe this, so I'm not going to listen to this at all. That's a religion. A universal theology is impossible, as Holy Spirit teaches. But a universal experience of sharing, holy and fully giving, to have all, give all, to all. That's the first of the three lessons of the Holy Spirit. It's so simple. It's so simple that no one wants to believe it. But that's how simple it is. If I'm just a spectator, thinking that I'm going to listen like I go to a movie and watch a movie and I'm going to get what the movie is saying, which is exactly what this world is all about. It's a movie that you're watching. To go beyond the dream, exactly as Teddy was teaching this morning, to go beyond the movie, to go beyond the symbols, beyond the concepts, to the shared universal experience takes willingness and motivation. Takes commitment, dedication. It's not a hobby I do for 10 minutes when I'm my ACM gatherer, I do my lesson. It's a wholehearted experience. Wholeness does not come from partiality. Thank you so much, Ruby, for asking me to share.
Well, that's a great quote from the clarification of terms. And it's actually one of my favorites. And I thank you for drawing our attention to it further, Ruby and Doug. A universal theology is impossible, but a universal experience is not only possible, but necessary. And the next sentence is a zinger. It is this experience towards which the course is directed. This is, in essence, a course in how to achieve the experience. And one key element that Dub has been stressing and that we've been talking about is the sharing. In order to have the experience, one must share it. Now, I spent some time this morning going through the concordance to the Ur text and looking up the word experience. And there's a number of quotes that I found that explain or flesh out what this universal experience that Jesus is talking about is and how the Course directs us towards that universal experience. And I see lots of hands up. I'm not getting much chance to talk today. Okay. Akam, Ruby, or Scott, go, one of you. You can argue over who starts.
I'm going to be real quick. I just want to clarify. I wanted to add one more thing. I just feel it's more about inspiration, which is inhabiting your spirit, recognizing your spirit, and then recognizing the Holy Spirit, which is the bridge to it all. I didn't mean to imply that anything is wrong or that sharing... I don't feel that sharing necessarily needs to be... It can be a heart connection. It can be full presence. It can be whatever you are guided to do, as long as your willingness is there to join. Scott, I loved what you said. You posted earlier, and Scott and I have been really looking into the issue of it's fine to ask a question. True questioning is welcome. Jesus asks us, the Holy Spirit wants us to question truly. But and in the Course, Jesus talks about a pseudo question. A pseudo question is where you already. It's actually a statement in the form of a question. So it's actually a pseudo question. And Scott will love this. I use the word bogus in reference to the ego. We think we know it all. And we can't receive while we think we know it all. We can't really join while we have... The Course tells us to make room for truth, which is to come with wholly empty hands and willingness to join. This moment is a new moment. It's an opportunity to join with my brother in the presence of the Holy Spirit and be reborn in each moment in the Spirit. That makes it compelling and dynamic when we show up in full presence, not based on what happened an hour ago, not based on all the learning. I mean, there's just too much information, especially this is the information age with computers and so many teachers. I really think it is about joining in spirit and that willingness that comes. And then the love just flows. It just is. So, and I see, I'm going to give the mic to Scott, and Dove also has his hand up.
Thanks, Ruby. Yeah, I wanted to sort of comment on what Dove was saying, that I think that, and add to what Ruby was saying, that we can have the healing even though we're not outwardly sharing. And Ruby just used the word the heart connection. You know, I do believe that people can be in this room or not even in the room. You know, Cliff might be here watching TV right now and he's not listening to what is being said. But for some reason he's logged in, okay? Could he be experiencing some semblance of healing while we're connecting here? Right? I believe he can. If we're all one, then of course he can. Right? Now what I'm imagining right now, what Dove is going to say is about the time saving. And yes, I can also see that. When I get on the mic and I get my stuff out there, I feel the healing. I'm aware of the healing and it happens boom, 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 really fast. Okay? I believe if I just sat back and listened to the room, I could still have a healing, but it may take a longer time to polish off my own personal things, my own personal knots, to untie those knots, right? It could still work, but I think in terms of time, it would take a much longer time. And if someone who's willing to be here but not actually listening could also experience the healing, but it would take even longer for them to become aware of that healing. So the time-saving issue, if you want to get it done, and if you're really committed to doing it, then of course you want to save time and experience it as soon as we possibly can. So that would be, you know, what we're talking about, commitment and being completely present here and willing to share. But like I said, we can't limit it to getting on the mic and getting your stuff out there. The healing is still going to happen. Your awareness of it might be somewhat limited depending on your willingness. But you're still going to, the healing is still happening. Here you go, Duff.
Okay, hi Scott. Thanks for that sharing. Actually, I wasn't really focused so much on time saving. I'm really focused on purpose. I'm going to read a letter that was sent to me about an hour ago by somebody who doesn't really spend a lot of time here in this room, but I'm going to read the letter, and you listen to the letter. It only is about 3 or 4 lines long. Hi. My son decided again last night to stick a needle in his arm in addition to some alcohol and drive. Fortunately, and I do mean that, the police picked him up and are housing him right now versus having him injure someone else as well. So much is on my mind. What does the course say about addictions? I'm going for a walk. That's what she says. I'm going for a walk, and she wants me to answer her email. I guess that's what I am saying. What is your purpose? Is your purpose actually to wake up, to awaken to the idea that salvation is the only purpose for being here? It's the only thing that has any meaning to you because it's the only thing that you can use. Salvation or redemption is only recognized by sharing and giving it away. I know there is the idea that as long as I remember that I'm joined with my brother, as long as I think I am joined with my brother, that's all I need. That's all I need. Well, that's fine. If you can actually keep your mind vigilant, and exactly as what Jesus says, you know, if your mind is vigilant, which means that you don't need my mind training course because you are not intolerant to your mind wandering, so that when you leave this room, you say, well, what is it that I learned in this room that I can use in my life today? What is it that I can use today? So that's the belief that you can bring the light into the dark, the belief that I can learn a lot from this room, and sooner or later, I'm going to be able to use all those things that I learned in this room and use it in my life, you know, like to heal my son's addictions. So the question is, has nothing to do with saving time. If you don't want to save time, that's up to you. This is a required course, as Jesus says, only the time you take it is voluntary. And if you think that Dove is pushing you, well, that's your perception of Dove. Yes, I am here to motivate and say, what is your purpose? Purpose is meaning. If your purpose is to awaken, you don't have to know anything to awaken. As a matter of fact, thinking that you need to know something, thinking that more information is going to give you something, is exactly the opposite of what Jesus is saying. This is not a course in learning. It's a course in unlearning. This is not a course in brainwashing you. It's a course in unbrainwashing you. You don't need more information. As Eckhart Tolle says, you don't need more street signs to point you in the direction. Sooner or later, the street signs become hindrances to you. You can't take street signs into the universal shared experience. It takes trust. Trust is a word that comes not from learning anything, it's from unlearning. Look at the 2 pages in the manual for teachers on trust. It's all about letting go, letting go, letting go, letting go. Letting go of what? Letting go of everything I've ever learned. Trust is the bedrock, the fundamental foundation of the teachers of God. Everything else comes from trust. Honesty, which is consistency of thoughts, words, and actions, where I need do nothing. The actions happen through me. I'm not doing them. Tolerance, where I can let go of judgment. Gentleness, patience, joy, defenselessness, faithfulness, open-mindedness. What else could anyone ask for? But you have to develop trust. And trust does not come without practice. It takes practice. You can listen to all of the intellectual stuff going on. It will not give you the practice of developing trust. And that's what Jesus is asking you to develop, to trust that your Father is always with you. I am among the ministers of God. Workbook Lesson 154. Let me step back and let Him lead the way. He's always with me. 155. God walks with me in perfect holiness. Ask 1,000 times a day, who walks with me until you are certain? Who walks with you? That takes trust. And how the hell will I ever be able to trust unless I practice letting go? Letting go of what? My belief system. Thank you so much for letting me share.
You want to contribute something there, Scott?
Oops. Okay, I get the mic, I guess. I wanted to sort of, I guess, add that practice can also be about listening. I agree that it's that you have to be conscious about what you're doing here, otherwise you won't experience anything happening. But the sitting back and listening, there are some people who come to the room who don't talk at all. And I don't want to think that they're just listening and listening and listening and listening and not getting anything out of it, not going anywhere. Why can't I also think that each of those people is practicing in their way, in their capacity at this moment? And I can imagine, for example, someone coming in the room and Ruby and I have a fight and we work something out within the hour and there's a healing, and this person who's observing and not participating verbally or on the board, right, witnesses the healing. Just being here, they witness the healing. And they understand on an unconscious level that that healing is something that they can experience as well. In fact, if they're seeing it in their dream, aren't they themselves manifesting it? Aren't they the ones that are actually practicing so that they experience a healing going on between Ruby and Scott? There's no Ruby and Scott, it's just them. It's just the oneness. So, if there's any sort of healing going on, every single participant, whether they're speaking or not, whether they're sitting or not, whether they're in the room even or not, I've got to extend it to everyone and everything that the healing that's taking place is taking place on a oneness level, touching every single person on the planet, in the past and in the future. Everything is being touched. So I don't think it's productive for me personally to think that there can even be someone who's out there just listening to CD after CD, reading book after book, looking for answer after answer, and not finding it. It's more productive for me to imagine they are finding it because I'm finding it. They are being healed because I'm being healed. Focus on the healing. That's what I wanted to share. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott. That was beautiful. I think what Eckhart Tolle talks about, and I wholeheartedly agree, that communication is not always verbal. You know, and he stresses, you know, that there are frequency holders, those that hold the space for love. And I'm going to use Carl as a perfect example. He does not get on the mic often, but gosh, you feel him here. You feel his presence. And, you know, every now and then he'll put in a one-liner or he'll just point to a place in the text. I mean, it's like he really does that. He really is love. And Eckhart Tolle speaks very clearly on this point. He says, he asks us not to get hung up on words, that they are but signposts. He says, let the signposts point, and it's always pointing inward. It's always pointing inward, and it's being that is the source, and it's pointing into beingness, presence, and presence is love, our joining in love, and Christ consciousness. I'm going to give the mic to Dove now.
Okay. First of all, Bastian arrives here at 5 o'clock, then it will be his mic because he is scheduled. Otherwise, I was going to turn it over to Glenn. Glenn Paris asked for some open time. I said, Glenn, if Bastian does not arrive here at 5 o'clock, it's your time. I happen to know it's 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, Russell Hill will not be here, so that is an open hour. So either, Glenn, you can take the next hour at 5 o'clock from 5 to 6, which is 2 to 3 your time, or you can take the next hour, which I know is going to be open. Russell already contacted me. He will not be here. So we can let this go for 2 hours. That's up to you, Glenn. I already said that you can have the next hour from 5 to 6 unless Bastian comes. So I just want to mention that. You know, I guess both Scott and yeah, I heard part of what Ruby was speaking about nonverbal communication, and of course everyone knows that that most communication is nonverbal. That's not what we're speaking about. We're not speaking about the idea that we already have one mind. That is a fact. The fact is we are joined. If we recognize the fact that we are joined with God and the separation never happened, I guess it would not be a course. There would not be a room called ACIM Gather. You wouldn't be here talking over and over about the same thing. There wouldn't be arguments. There wouldn't be anything. It would be a fact. We are joined. Obviously, we're teaching ourselves we're not joined. Now, the purpose of ACIM Gather is to recognize that we are all equal as learners and equal as teachers. The take that I have received from listening to Jesus for some 30 years, and I didn't just receive it yesterday. I received it about 6 years ago. He says, don't turn this book into another Bible like the last time I came. And use it to make others wrong. But he does say, teach that I did not die, rather teach that I did not die in vain by demonstrating I live in you. Now, everyone will agree, because everyone knows that the teacher's manual says to teach is to demonstrate. And everyone says, oh, well, I demonstrate that all the time. I demonstrate it on elevators. I demonstrate it in my office, my family. I'm always loving everybody. If that's what you are always doing, I'd love to have you share that. Just like all the people that I invite here, like Linda McNabb came here and said, you know, once I was raped, I was gangbanged, I was abused, molested, I was broken, I was ashamed, and now I'm one again. That's an invitation to anyone and everyone to recognize you don't have to know what the book is saying to come and share your light and your love. And I know what it takes to share that. It takes courage. Exactly what Cheryl Valentine said last night. It takes courage. And courage is the opposite of weakness. Courage is the opposite of fear. Fear that someone's going to criticize me. Someone's going to judge me. The people who have come here who've been teaching recently, and Glenn is one of them, who said, you know, I realized there's no one out there to judge me. Judgment is not even real. Why am I afraid to being judged? There's no one out there to judge me. We can pass this mic right around the room, not the same three or four people who always pick up the mic. But we can pass this right around the room and everyone can get up and be all that you can be right here, right now, without the belief, and that's a belief that you have to know one word from A Course in Miracles to be a teacher of God. It doesn't say in the manual for teachers you have to know what this course is saying. It says you don't even have to believe in God. It tells you that. Jesus says you don't have to believe in God to be a teacher of God. All that you is required is that you see that your interest and your brother's interest is the same, not different. That we're all in the same boat. There's no one here judging you. If you think that you are being judged, that's because you are judging. It takes trust to let go of judgment. And trust does not come easy, by the way. No one said that trust comes easy. This may be a simple course, but as Jesus says on page 75 of the FIP edition, he says, the last and final lesson that I learned as a man, if you're going to learn Jesus' course, you might as well as hear what he has to say about his own life. The final lesson I learned is to hear only one voice. The voice for love, the voice for God, your highest integrity. And finally, he leaves you off in the last week of the year and says, guess what? There's nothing your ego is more afraid to hear than this. Nothing that your ego is more afraid to hear than this. Nothing. I don't know who I am, what I am, where I am. I don't know anything. And that's when the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And then he says, what you are will tell you of itself. You are fooling yourself, you're conning yourself, if you think that listening to CDs or other people telling you who you are and what you are will ever allow you to know what you are. Jesus says the only purpose for taking this course or any of the hundreds of universal curriculums that all take you to the same place, the only purpose is to know thyself, to know what you are. You won't find what you are in a book. You will not trust until you hear it coming to you and through you from the voice for love within you, speaking to you and through you, to your brothers and sisters, just like Helen, who didn't trust the voice at first, which is why the first couple of chapters seemed to be so choppy, and why the faucet was so rusty and didn't come out the way she wanted it to. But she hung in there with determination. She hung in there so that we are here now speaking about A Course in Miracles, that she was willing to share with everyone, not to just take it in for herself. If you think the Course in Miracles has given you anything, share it. Share it with your brothers and sisters and rise to the light and the love, the fountain of light and love that you are. Share it from your heart, from your soul. Give all that you have. Give it away and you will know what you are. You will not know what you are by listening, by taking. Giving and receiving are the same. Read text chapter 25, section 9, the justice of heaven, to know why you will never know what you are until you give it all away. Thank you so much.
Is it okay, Doug? We hogged your whole hour. Sorry about that. I wanted to share something. I think that focusing on any brother's lack and teaching that is just going to reinforce the lack within yourself. Like, if I believe that there are people in this room who only listen and listen to CDs and CDs and CDs and books and books and books. If I believe, and I share that with all of you, that has to be my own personal fear that someone out there can be investing in lack, and thus I'm investing in lack. That's not what I want to teach myself, and I don't imagine that's what any of us want to teach. So instead, couldn't I believe that, just put all of my trust in the belief that people are getting exactly what it is that they need to be getting, that they're, and I wouldn't even get to the point where I would mention, oh, there's some people out there that only listen to CDs again and again and again, looking for answers and never get them. I think that's, for me, that's an investment in the idea of fear and the idea of lack. And I don't personally want to teach that. I don't want to learn that. I guess that's what I'm saying. And I think Dove understands what I'm saying. And it's not an attack on Dove. Have to let things be as they are. And there's some learning going on. Some healing going on, obviously. But just a reminder out there that what we focus on will be real for us. So if you think that there are people in your movie who aren't getting it, or who aren't committed to getting it, then of course you yourself aren't going to get it. So instead, switch the switch and focus your belief that we're all getting it and that there's nothing to get. And that it's perfect now, and then that will be your new movie. Thanks. Here you go, Doug.
Well, thank you, Scott. I'm just reading the board here. Ruby's writing, anger comes from expectations that others or myself are not fulfilling the role I assigned to them. What a fun room today, writes Deborah. Okay. PRSJR, and I don't know what your name is, writes, I think this whole message is for me. I know I'm supposed to be teaching. I'm just a bit apprehensive. Okay, Paul. Yes. Well, a lot of people are apprehensive about picking up the mic. I was for some time, and some of you in here I know who pick up the mic fairly often need to have your arms twisted a little bit. And then after you've done it, you experience this, wow, that was great. And I've seen that many times now on Pal Talk. There's a certain nervousness about getting up in front of an audience you can't see. And remember, there's always more people listening than you see on the list of those who are in the room, because there's that radio, and who knows how many are tuned in there. Now, what I'm not sure of is whether I'm going to be stopping in 4 minutes or an hour in 4 minutes. And depending on which it is, well, what the heck. I'm going to start with what I had planned to start on. And if Bastian shows up, then we will pick this up again next week, because there's lots of stuff here. What I set out to do was address this question of what is this experience towards which the Course is directed? This experience that is universal, not only possible, but necessary. And it's not a theology, it's not head learning, it's not theories, and I think to some extent, Dove is right that you don't get it from a book, but clearly Jesus has given us a book, and he tells us that one of the values of the book is that it can focus our thoughts. When we're reading a book, especially a book like A Course in Miracles, all the other stimuli that are coming in through our senses are muted as we focus on that book and the ideas presented in that book, and that focus opens us to the possibility of an experience. And that experience is defined, quite simply, as love. And there's one fantastic quote in chapter 4 in the Ur text, the fourth section, paragraph 12. And I want to read it because it is just, well, something else. And it is, no human love is without ambivalence. And since no ego has experienced love without ambivalence, the concept is beyond its understanding. Love will enter immediately into any mind which truly wants it, but it must want it truly. This means that it wants it without ambivalence, and this kind of wanting is wholly without the ego's drive to get. There is a kind of experience that is so different from anything the ego can offer that you will never recover. Let me read that line again. There is a kind of experience that is so different from anything the ego can offer that you will never recover. The word recover is used quite literally here. You will never be able to hide again. It is necessary to repeat that your belief in darkness and in hiding is why the light cannot enter. And that kind of experience is precisely the experience of love. And the ambivalence of the ego is that it is aware of love, but it is also frightened of it. And in that fear comes the block, or the belief in darkness and in hiding, that love can somehow bring something dangerous. And that experience of love is the witness that tells us what's true, and what's not true. It is, you know, in terms of what makes Jesus' message and Jesus' teaching meaningful to me and convincing to me, and how I know what I know, and I know that I know what I know, is that transcendent experience of touching the love in sharing with, in communicating with other people. It doesn't happen sitting quietly alone reading a book. It's true, it doesn't. It does happen in the experience of sharing with others that, and it, I mean, I've never recovered. I don't expect I ever will. That experience of the love, of the sharing, of, which is also an experience of oneness, is what convinces us or witnesses to us the truth of what Jesus is telling us in A Course in Miracles. And the idea that you must heal in order to know your own healing simply underlines the fact that it's in the sharing, in the transmission of the love, in the passing it from one to another, that it becomes known, that it becomes completely, that it becomes experienced as opposed to merely understood. And the experience is also a joint experience. It's not necessarily entirely an individual experience. There is a quote here from chapter 1, section 2. Note that much of the more personal than usual notes you are taking today reflect the revelatory experience. This does not produce the more generalizable quality which this course is aimed at. It's an interesting line. They may, nevertheless, be of great help to Bill personally, since you asked for something that would help him personally. It depends on how he listens and how well he understands the cooperative nature of your joint experience. Listen to that line. It depends on how he listens and how well he understands the cooperative nature of your joint experience. What this little personal that was edited out later talks about is this notion of joint experience, which is rarely as directly addressed anywhere else in the course. And it is the joint experience which comes from the sharing, because when one shares with another or one heals another, it is not just that I experience my healing through my experience of your healing, is that we experience it together. And as the Course tells us, the arc of peace is entered two by two. It's about relationships. And the experience of love in a relationship is the only place love can be experienced. Love is not experienced alone in isolation. It is always a sharing, a connection, a communication, something joint. And that experience then belongs to both those who share it. And that is where the Course is taking us. That is the experience towards which this course is directed. And Dove, you want to say something? All right, it's 5:03. Go for it.
Okay, exactly as you say. You don't know if you have 5 minutes or an hour and 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes. I'm turning the mic over to Glenn Paris, and like I did say here earlier, there is an open hour from 6 to 7. If you want that hour, Doug, it's yours. If you don't, we'll ask who does want it, and that's fine. I'm going to turn this mic over to Glenn, because Glenn did ask for the time. He got in touch with me. He says he wants some time. Is there any open time? I said yes, at 5 o'clock if Bastion does not arrive. Bastion is, by the way, in South America. He hasn't been absent without leave. He's doing the Course in Miracles in Bogota or Venezuela down in South America. And when he returns, of course, the 5 o'clock time is his. The other thing is, you know, I heard exactly what you said, Scott. And by the way, I totally agree with you. That's exactly what the Course says. It says, if you think that your brothers need a change in any way, it's you that needs the healing. And I'm totally with you. And by the way, that was read by Ruby the night that she left a little bit early. How is correction made from the manual for teachers? I don't really believe that anyone needs to change. But I am saying that you're wasting your time if you come here. If you come here just to listen to certain people and then you leave, because you're making those people special. And that's what Jesus is saying. Do not do that to yourself anymore. And he also is saying to you that this is not a course in theology where you learn something and you believe it to be true. It's something that you experience by trusting that you already have what God has given to everyone, but you will not know it until you share it and to give it away. That the people who pick up the microphone and would stand and defend, I'll use the word defend exactly as Jesus uses it, their brothers who needs no defense, is really doing the exact same thing. You don't need to defend your brothers. Your brothers are the truth. You don't need to defend the Course in Miracles. You don't need to defend Jesus. You don't need to defend God. If I defend anyone, I must think that I am attacked. If you hear attack, then that's what you're hearing. I am saying, you will not learn this course until you are willing to say, I do not know who I am, what I am, where I am, and then what you are, will tell you of itself. But it won't tell you of yourself until you're willing to give it away. If you don't hear that, that's fine. Turning this mic over to you, Glenn Paris, thank you so much for being here. The mic is all yours.
Hi, everybody. So thank you for sharing, Doug. And Ruby, you asked me a question. I don't really know how to respond to that. I just don't. Let me see. Does Scott and I have taken much of... Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how to respond to any of that. I'm going to be gone next hour, but if you think that that's the correct thing to do, then that's not a problem. I'll just go ahead and turn it over. No problem.
Thank you very much, Glenn. I just felt that we took so much of Doug's lat, and being that most of us have been into this conversation, it would really kill the continuity. So, Glenn, if you could, you know, I'd really appreciate it, and that's just my personal feeling on it. And I personally would like to continue this conversation, at least wind it down where it's where we all can feel at peace with what we were sharing. I just didn't want to leave it that way. So I'm going to drop the mic for Doug to continue. Thank you. Glenn, that's up to you. If you want to join in the sharing and lead us on with it, that's up to you. But I just expressed my feelings, and the rest of the room can share theirs. So I'm going to drop the mic.
Yeah, like, I don't really even understand any of that. That's the first time I've ever... Let me see. Yeah, I just don't... That's a... You know, I don't know to how to respond, but I don't need to know. If there's some type of urgency, then it's not. It's like, it's no big deal. You know, I could go back to doing what I was doing. I have no problem. You know, the peace of God, the peace that I've experienced is only an insane mind. I would have to be completely insane to have a grievance and not have peace. Because of something like this, then to choose peace. So I'm totally fine. If there's some urgency, that's totally fine. Okay. All right. So I'll go ahead and get started then. Hello. Welcome to the room. If you're new to the room, welcome. If you're already in here, hello. So I'm just going to go ahead and share my experience. I got some stuff going on, and that is this.